Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the bulldozer Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
It's Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holla.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Oh, shit.
I said, motherfuck you, motherfucker. I said, it's cold outside.
It is cold outside. It is Thursday, January 8th, 2015. Welcome to the first edition of Yakuza Kick Radio of 2015. I'm your host, J.K. Morris. Back for another week of rambling and ranting and raving. I'm going to, you know, preview the CZW show a little bit, go over a little bit of the NFL stuff, you know, playoffs, and, you know, everything else that's going on. First things first, I'll get into a little bit of, you know, and again, it's not going to be one of my, not a stirring, you know, tribute as usual. I mean, a lot of the things that I hit as far as, you know, deaths and stuff like that, I can't give these people proper tributes. I mean, there's always going to be people who know that much more about the people that I'm talking about, you know, and you know, obviously the people who work with them, the people who know them best. So, you know, I say it out of respect to, you know, the tribute, but there's always going to be a million, you know, bullet points that I'm missing and all that. But anyway, Stuart Scott, ESPN anchor. And I mean, the guy was an absolute legend as far as, you know, a guy that was just, you know, known for, you know, covering different sports and, you know, sportscaster. I mean, the guy's a fucking legend. If you grew up, you know, watching ESPN, I mean, you knew that Stuart Scott was just one of those irreplaceable guys on the panel. And, you know, he passed away at 49 with cancer. It shows that how little I watch ESPN these days. It's really the past, I don't even know, probably at least 5 years that I've just kind of stayed away from, like, the ESPNs, I've just got spoiled in my own shit. I don't like to hear the same thing over and over. So, like, even if I know, like, hey, you know, I watched Red Zone, so I'm seeing all the games. I'm seeing all the scores. I'm seeing all the touchdowns. Come fucking 8 o'clock that night, I don't need to see the touchdowns again. I'm all set. You know what I mean? Like, back in the day, you didn't have all this coverage of, you know, every game bouncing around from here to there. So you'd watch NFL primetime, and you'd see all the touchdowns, all the big plays. I mean, they're jumping around nonstop while you're watching Red Zone, so you really get to see everything. There's very little you miss. I mean, if it's your own team, you want to see it, you know, start to finish. You know, I always try to see my Niners that way, but don't always have coverage. But so I've gotten away from watching ESPN for that reason, and I'm not a baseball fan. You know, I have little kind of outside interests, like I kind of root for this guy or that guy or this team or that team. But I'm not a baseball fan. I haven't watched an entire baseball game since before the when they had that strike, whatever it was that before that, I used to watch some baseball, but I don't watch baseball. I don't watch hockey. I get into the NBA after the NFL season is completely over, and I'm a Heat fan. But, you know, diehard Niner fan and everything, football is my deal. But, you know, like I said, I don't watch everything. So when it comes down to, you know, SportsCenter, it doesn't keep my interest. And the stuff that I do care about, I already know what they're going to say. And there's only so much analysis you can hear as far as, well, these guys, you know, they should get more running yards. They're going to, you know, probably win. Okay, I got you. Yeah. But, I mean, Stuart Scott was just a phenomenal sportscaster. And, you know, he'll be missed for sure. I said I didn't even know the guy was sick because it's been that long since I've watched ESPN. And, you know, as I went back to see, like, what he was going through because they showed the different clips and stuff of him battling and, you know, making a bunch of speeches of how, you know, even when you die from it, cancer didn't beat you. You know, your life is defined on how you live with it and, you know, despite it and all that. So, you know, he's always been a prolific guy. And, you know, like I said, he's just one of those irreplaceable figures. It's crazy too, you know, this is another one of those things that death scares the shit out of me. And what bothers me more than anything, I think, is how fast you kind of disappear. Like, no matter who you are, I mean, you know, in the past 10 years, I mean, we've really lost some of the most iconic people ever. I mean, people, you know, the Robin Williams, Michael Jackson, you know, I mean, the list goes on and on. Like, guys who, you know, you grew up, this is one of the, you know, the top actors, this is one of the top performers, this is one of this. And, I mean, you can go into any genre and definitely pick some of the best out there that have passed. And, you know, you get the big tributes, you get you this, that, but, you know, no matter how much they tribute, how much, you know, you might be brought up, it's still, you still just kind of go away. And that's like no matter how big of a star you are. So it's pretty crazy, especially like on a low level. How much does your name even come up again? I mean, you get the couple people that can't get over your death and, you know, are going to be kind of tied to your shit with a therapist telling you to let it go, you know. There's going to be someone trying to work your name out of someone else's mind if it's being brought up too much because, you know, it's like a painful thing. At best, you could wind up a tattoo on somebody or, you know, one of those decals on the back of somebody's car in remembrance, you know, a fucking T-shirt or something, but Jesus. You know, you just kind of disappear, and that's why I just think you got to, like, do whatever you can to live in the moment and, you know, just really shine while you're here because you fucking, none of this shit is guaranteed. Time is fucking ticking on every one of us and shit, so it's just crazy. Just, you know, a little sidetracked on that, but, you know, it just becomes really surreal to me as time goes on and you just see more names that were just, you know, everyday household names and then they're just gone and gone. And then, you know, 3 months later, it's just like, okay, he's gone. Well, that's the end of that. I mean, it's not even brought up again or anything like that. Not that, you know, every day we should be singing the praises of everyone that's died, but, you know, it's just weird. Like I said, it's a little surreal. But let me see. I've been training my ass off. Like I said, I got my rec bag.
walked 2 miles with it last week, I believe it was, after the show. Yeah, did 2 miles with it. It was pretty badass, man. Definitely like that thing. Gonna be doing a lot more work with it. It's like fucking, it's gotta be like under 10 degrees outside right now. So, that shit ain't gonna happen tonight, but, it's gotta get a little warmer than that. Even the 20s and 30s, I could do some shit, but it's fucking brutal cold out there. What did I try? The vitamins I've been taking, I recommend those. I think they're pretty good. Called Orange Triad, and it's got like your whole multivitamin spectrum, as well as like shit for your joints. You know, the glucosamine and chondroitin, and all sorts of other shit for supposed to help your tendons and stuff. And some kind of flex complex they got in there, and like a digestion joint in there too. But it works pretty good. I mean, if you take it with food like you're supposed to, I was kind of nervous about it because in the past I've had issues with multivitamins and shit just doesn't agree with me. But I think in the past I've just fucked up. Like, you know, I was drinking nightly and, you know, not eating right. So I think half the time it was like empty stomach shit and whatever last night's alcohol was floating around and trying to throw vitamins in. Sure, it didn't sit in my stomach too well. So I don't know. I've been taking them, you know, right, and I think they definitely, got me feeling pretty good. I started a new pre-workout, too, called Bold Knox, and I think that works pretty good. I like it. It gives you a little bit different of a feeling than like, the C4. C4 is, you know, they get you that real fucking speedy, like, hyped up shit, which I like. But, you know, after a while, like, you know, you don't get the same effects. You started out, you know, with goops that I should get you all amped up. Then after a while, it's just like every day hitting 3 scoops of it, and it's kind of just the norm. And I really don't want to go up any higher than that. I mean, you're already at ridiculous levels of caffeine, and, you know, if you have a rest day the next day after doing that, you just immediate fucking crazy headaches because your body wants, you know, 2,000 milligrams of caffeine or whatever you're ingesting. So it's just not. There's a certain limit you just got to go, all right, well, we've upped it enough. But, but no, this stuff's good. It's got some testosterone booster in there, too. So, like I said, it's a little bit different of a feeling, but I think it feels like it's more beneficial. You know, it's not just like that speedy hype shit, which, you know, you do get some of that. Obviously, you know, kicks you up a bit, but they're big ass scoops, too. So, yeah, they tell you to take 1 scoop, I'm up to 2, of course, just because I got that tolerance with the pre-workouts, but I think it works pretty good. So I'm going to go through this container of that and, you know, switch off, try something else. I just more or less looked up online, like, you know, top-rated pre-workouts, and that was, like, one of the top on one of the review things, so I figured I'd give it a shot. But, yeah, pretty good stuff. Fucking gym is definitely crowded these days. It's all the New Year's resolution people are, you know, popping up. So they'll be disappearing within the next month or so. But, you know, it is what it is. I watched the interview last week, and I thought it was a funny movie. The funniest thing to me about it is that it became such a patriotic statement to even see the movie that, you know, there were so many people that would not even be interested in seeing the movie that that went and saw it, you know, whether internet or select theaters or whatever they were at it. And, you know, there was like deep South fucking redneck Republicans watching this movie, fucking chest poked out like goddamn Koreans. And, you know, right in the opening of the movie, they got fucking Eminem on there coming out as gay. So you got a white rapper coming out as a gay guy on a movie that, you know, goddamn well that there were some of these fucking uptight Republican people watching it, like, fucking for our country. They couldn't have been more disgusted. I can't imagine that that shit didn't just, like, turn everybody's stomach that was you know, from the group of people that wouldn't be watching it. So I couldn't help but think of how hilarious and ironic that it is that they more or less got America into watching this movie because they, you know, kind of had to do it for the better of the country. And it just, you know, it was your basic goofy stoner comedy type thing. It wasn't, you know, nothing groundbreaking, but that's not something I was looking for. I wasn't looking for groundbreaking material out of this. It was something I was going to see anyway. And, you know, like I said, some laughs, and it was fine. But, what else? Wanted to go into a quick thing about it. Because, you know, I listen to the Adam Carolla podcast, as, you know, many, many people do. It's one of the most popular podcasts on the internet. And I wanted to go into real quick about it. They, Adam had fired Allison Rosen, who was his sidekick. And I didn't like it at all. I straight up just didn't like that move at all. And the way he went about it was kind of shitty. Supposedly he emailed her while she was on vacation to fire her. She was with the show for 4 years. I thought she was really quick-witted and, you know, a good comedic sidekick. I thought he bounced off of her really well. I mean, as far as my listening goes, the chemistry was there for sure. But, you know, when it all was said and done, he kind of put it out there like, well, you know, it wasn't working out, and she's just not a great sidekick. And I'm like, what the fuck? She's there for 4 years. Like, what are we talking about? And there wasn't, like, any signs of shit wasn't working or anything from a listener standpoint. Shit was going great. You know, after a while, these type of people become more or less like a family. You listen to a podcast for 4 years, 5 years, and I was listening to it before that when they had Teresa Strasser on there. And I actually liked Allison way better. And, you know, there's just a chemistry and just a flow of the show that you get used to. And you had Adam and Allison and Bald Brian with the sound effects and drops and shit. And it just became like the regular, this was the crew. I mean, sometimes I would turn it on and you would have Adam sitting down one-on-one with a guest for an interview. I'd skip over it every time. I had no interest in just Adam talking to such and such. It was like the whole group that made the show so much better. And of course, you know, Adam picked these people initially, so, you know, I don't doubt that in the long run he'll pick someone else that also works well and it'll be fine, but it's just that dynamic that, you know, you really got used to. And I didn't like it at all. I was, you know, pretty upset by it. As soon as, you know, the show started, I'm like, good, because, you know, you get Stern's on vacation, Carolla's on vacation, you get, like, best of shows and stuff when it comes to Christmas, New Year's. So, it's like, good. Back to, you know, new podcast, new Stern show, all that stuff. And first thing, it's like, oh, Allison Rosen is not coming back in 2005. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Just completely fucked up my, you know, welcome back podcast. I'm like, god damn it. But, like I said, shit'll all settle, I'm sure. Carolla knows what he's doing. I think he made a really bad decision there. But, like I said, in the long run, the dust will settle. I'm a Carolla fan. So, is what it is. Let me see. What else? Oh, UFC. I watched the UFC, which I'm just not a UFC fan. I watch for the big fights. I'd say John Bones Jones is my favorite to watch. He, you know, he's a bad motherfucker, and everybody they put in front of him, he takes out. And he's been criticized, and a bunch of different things have been said about the guy. He can't do this, he can't do that, and he keeps proving everybody wrong. They had this big feud between him and Derek Cormier. I could be saying that completely wrong, because, as I said, I'm not that big of a fan. But, and they were really going at it as, you know, back and forth on interviews, and, like, after shit was supposed to be off the air, they're, like, you know, threatening each other and saying all sorts of shit. But so it was like a really, really heated rivalry. You really expected these dudes just each other. And, you know, it was a good fight as far as, you know, Jones did what he had to do. He controlled the fight. He had complete control of everything. And he just put dude in check. But I don't know, just because I'm a selfish watcher or viewer, as it were, I you wanted to see these two just fucking maul each other, and it just didn't go down like that. I don't think either one of them did anything wrong, obviously. Homier did something wrong because he didn't win. But I don't know. I just, for my entertainment value, I want to see motherfucking toe-to-toe crazy shit. And obviously that's UFC, and, you know, a lot of the fight game becomes more of like a chess match. And if you just, you know, jump in and throw crazy punches, you're going to get killed. But so I understand everything. I'm not saying that anyone did anything wrong. Just for my entertainment value, it's kind of why I'm not like a huge UFC fan. That, and most guys, they get a small run in UFC, and then they're kind of, they're phased out. Like, someone gets knocked out once, and then you just don't see them again. They go from the bottom in no time. Yeah, coming out of that, there was apparently John Jones tested positive for coke. This came out a day or two after the fight, or a couple days after the fight. Now, you know motherfucking well that they knew this shit before the fight. Because when do they ever test athletes for substances post-event? Do you think, like, the Super Bowl goes down, the team wins the Super Bowl, and then a week later they're like, all right, let's see if you guys are on any PEDs or anything. I can't imagine. I just really, really can't imagine that thing, guys, for any kind of substances after the fact. Because what does that look like to the organization? That you, okay, you watch the big fight, and then you go, oh, okay, that guy was on coke. All right. I mean, you knew beforehand, but you got your big money and walked with that before you, you know, made the announcements. It had to have gone down that way. I think it's crazy to think otherwise. But it is what it is. You know, there's always shady shit going on, especially when there's millions on the line. If they shelf that fight because the dude was on coke, you know, tested positive for coke, they would have lost millions of dollars, and they're not about that shit. So it is what it is. Going to take a break. So, you know, I guess in the honor of John Bones Jones and his win, and, you know, I'm definitely not a coke dude, but, you know, shout out to John Jones and play this track in dedication.
Okay, last time. This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Welcome home, George Young. R.I.P. McBride, real Boston George. That Dade County Yayo shit, double M.O.B. Gonna take these pussy niggas I got coke like April. I got coke like April. And my coke white safer. I got coke like April. 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 I got coke like Angel, and my coke white Satan. All white nigga, Big Ike nigga. Keep shooters with me, your car, your gravesite nigga. 15th Ave, miracle nigga. Get these comforters fried, come and get a few nigga. John Doe nigga, you know that combo nigga. Get that weed and white, won't you a combo nigga? Checkmate with the stick, identified by your kick. Welcome home, Skinner, already bought him a brick. Booby gang was the click, forever changed the game. Bunky Brown was the legend, Wayne Parker the main. Kansas City set, 183rd still a route. We live in the jungle, fish tanks in the house. I got coke like April. I got coke like April. And my coke white safer. I got coke like April. 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 And my coke white safer. Go Dylan, nigga. Oh, really, nigga? Bunch Park Hot. It's a block full of killers. Lil' Trav, nigga. the bab, nigga. Execution to coming. Bout that little tab, nigga. River City, they slide. AKA homicide. Rest in peace to the gooners. One day we be out of eye. It is what it is. I left the vest at the crib. Extended the clip. I'ma give them the beard. Catch you jacking your dick. Now you fucked in the game. Leave you flat on your back. Where you lay was a stain. A mill in a hole is every real nigga goal. When it's uncut like Ochoa, they want your crumbs off the floor. Whoa! I got coke like Ava. I got coke like Ava. And my coke white safe. I got coke like Ava. 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 And my coke white safe. My new bitch, she a waitress. Strip club is a trap. Stick my dick in the pussy when she comes sit on my lap. Get that paper, my plug. Keep sending that pack from Bahamas. It's uncut like 80. 17 still my number. Candy paint on my dome. Jesus peace on my chunk. Soul of my last nigga pooch. She just wanted a bump. Her man wanted a line. So I sold him a verse. Sold a quarter for nine. And I sold him the first. Can't be taking them trips for that flea market whip. Peep this Rollie Fugazi. I'm selling game to a pimp. Line up all of my bitches. Head crack them and check them. Even if she barefooted, I bet the streets gon' respect her. I got coke like Ava. I got coke like Ava. And my coke white safe. I got coke like Ava. 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 And my coke white safe.
Am I to conclude that you're finished with it?
No, don't conclude that. Not yet, but you can believe when I leave here, it's probably be my next.
All right. So, Wrestle Kingdom happened over the weekend. That was like a 2 a.m. pay-per-view type situation. You know, I personally, I do plan on watching it. I only so far have watched the Ibushi Nakamura match. I thought it was awesome. I mean, you gotta love both of those guys. Those guys are tremendously entertaining. And, you know, that was really good. I haven't gotten around to watching it. I have a hard time watching, like, a whole straight-through Japanese show for some reason. Maybe it's the language barrier that gets me a little lost as far as, you know, connecting with the product or whatever. But, I mean, the matches are fucking awesome for the most part. And you know, that is, like, their WrestleMania. And I've watched, like, the past year's ones, and I always enjoyed them. So, you know, I'm going to get around to watching the rest of it, but I just haven't yet. But check that, at least that match out if you haven't yet. I believe it's on YouTube to just, you know, watch even just that match. Let me see. Something's been annoying the shit out of me for a minute now, and I'll stay as vague as I can for now, but I could very well go in deeper and more personal with the situations on this, because I mean, it's not like I'm worried about any of that type of shit. I'm trying to be as cool about it as possible, but in the same token, the shit is irritating. The New York indie scene, you get a bunch of people who don't belong in wrestling. A bunch of people, like, maybe because it's local you notice it more, but I think part of why you notice it more, at least over here, is because there's a couple people within the New York indie scene that either were shit or are capable of doing quite a bit and actually very relevant people within the indie scene and people who can excel very, very far, but they stay bogged down in bullshit. They stay completely tied to just garbage.
And what they used their name for, instead of getting themselves over and pushing their career further and further forward, is giving names to fucking nobodies for the sake of saying that this dude ain't shit, or this dude can't wrestle, or this dude's garbage, or this promoter shit, or this one shit. Everybody, there's so many of them that spend their time making me aware of people that I would have never been aware of in order to bash them. So by bashing these people, they're putting them over. And I think they make themselves look like bigger clowns than the people they're clowning, because you're the one with the name, and now you're tying yourself to these bullshit names I never heard of. Those motherfuckers never had a name, so there's nothing to even tie them to other than now you, because you're putting it out there. You know what I'm saying? And I know sometimes what happens is you get one dude get his head gassed up to do this dumb shit by somebody else who ain't shit. And then they're running around fucking burying every nobody that they can instead of excelling with their own shit. It's just like, shit don't make any motherfucking sense to me. And there's a couple cats specifically to do it. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to be a little cool about it, at least for now. And it's just, it's obsessive, and there's no reason in the world for it, because they're putting people over. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's just, I learned all sorts of bullshit names, all sorts of bullshit nobody names that I would never, ever hear in my life. I would live and die without knowing these people existed, except for other people bringing them up to shit on them. But now I know about them. You know what I'm saying? These dudes wouldn't even crack the surface of anybody's fucking mind in indie wrestling at all. So it's just crazy. It gets really, really tiring. Let me see. Yeah, let me do one of these. Let me see. Jesus Christ. Bear with me here. Where is my motherfucking... Here it is.
Oh, you motherfuckers. Okay. All right. I'm putting cases on all you bitches.
I don't like your jerk-off name. I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like your jerk-off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk-off. Fuck
you. A jerk-off of the week is people who stand in the middle of aisles like they're umpiring a game on the shelf in front of them. And motherfuckers who walk backwards. Why the fuck do people walk backwards? You get people walking out of doors backwards because they're talking to people that are inside the fucking door. Never looking behind them. Never trying to protect themselves. Motherfuckers need to stop walking backwards unless they're carrying one end of some shit, or they're a cornerback in the motherfucking NFL, because I'm going to start Monty Browning motherfuckers and just knocking them off their shit. Shit is ridiculous. Don't make no motherfucking sense. I'm walking forward. I gotta jump out of the way because you motherfuckers is just walking backwards. And I wish traffic would hit every one of you motherfuckers. I really do. It shit gets on my motherfucking nerves more than anything. It's people walking backwards, not even looking where they're going. And it happens constantly in the supermarkets, in the workplace.
Fuck
shit
you.
Is crazy.
You fucking fuck.
Start them off. You got a gun. Fucking shoot them in the face.
Absolutely. So let me see. I think I hit a good amount of what I was trying to get at here. I'm going to take another quick break. Yeah, you know, I'm just going to rapid fire a couple breaks out there and, you know, touch a couple little topics. You know, I don't have that much, but, and then I'm going to come back, preview the CZW show, a little NFL action and, you know, take it home. I guess I'll probably do like an hour show tonight. No big deal. All right. Here we go.
Come on.
Yeah. Excuse me,
motherfucker, I'm trying to get through. When Doc loaded, I'm like a stud missile, a stud 6'2". I'm hunting down holes with no drawers on it, button down clothes, no brown nose, just join it. Ecstasy pills with Buddha Man sign stamped on it. Damn on it, the Blair Witch wouldn't camp on it. A block and shining suntan ointment. You do a dance when the lead is clipped in. Only dude with a bike with air conditioning. Fuck the feds, your door, ready to kick it. So prepare to wear scuba gear equipment. I wet it, my tape underground leakage. It hit the air and you swear you found Jesus. The man who turned out the summer jam. Not with a mic, I brrr, tuck it in. The noise keeps the helicopter hovering. The boys is dead weight when I muscle in. I need a hot girl, I ride a die chick. Mainly a hot chick riding for stock dick. Smell it when the odor airs in. The gorilla shit holes and polar bear skin. The chronic stink up the overhead bin. When I fly,
man, drunk again. What am I do now, huh? What am I do now, huh?
Instead, on the floor with your shirt like I dyed it red. Wild, wild brick, 80-foot spider legs. Doc in, double O, learn to drive it. I'm on the roof, guns under the armpit, yelling out.
Yo, start off, hand on the pump, and I'll pump and can the first man that jump.
I got a punch that'll cut your beard up. Doc is like warning when you touch my earmuff. I wild out, throw blows. Something about Mary roll me in a Ford Explorer. The pressure time five remind me that y'all can't eat like it's Ramadan week. My mascot was built for kamikaze. If it sells,
LOD
right behind me.
What am I do now? Huh? What am I do now?
Like I said, with that game, I don't think Arizona belongs in the playoffs. They really, the bottom fell out of them. Everything that made them the top seed in the NFC West, completely, just the bottom fell out of them probably three quarters of the way through the season. And, you know, they allowed Seattle to come in there and take the top of the division right at the end of the season. And, you know, backup quarterbacks and all that. And just weren't the team that, you know, led the NFC West all fucking season. So, you know, even beyond the quarterback situation, because they had some quarterback issues all year and were still holding tight. But, yeah, like I said, second half of the year was bad for them, and definitely the final stretch was fucking burial. So it is what it is there. But, you know, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, you know, could always go either way. I mean, that's just a blood feud. And Baltimore definitely came out on top of that one, 30-17. Roethlisberger still threw for over 300 yards, but, you know, Flacco was definitely on top of shit there. And Indy beat up Cincinnati. I didn't think Cincinnati stood a chance in this, and I was right. Luck threw for 376 yards and all that. Dallas and Detroit, this was one that I definitely wanted Detroit to win. I think Detroit had the
the ability to win this game. But when it came down to it, man, they were dominant in the first half. They put up a bunch of points. And then in the second half, I think they put up 3 points in the whole second half. There was also that crazy fucking call that I've never seen anything like that before, where there was a clear pass interference on the Cowboys that would have kept the Lions drive fucking moving. They threw the flag, called pass interference audibly. Like, you know, there's times you'll throw the flag, they'll see them, you know, converse about it, and then they'll go on the mic and be like, oh, there's no flag on the play because they talked about it and they decided against it. But usually when they go on the you know, the TV mics and then go pass interference, such and such, you know, 15-yard penalty, whatever the fuck, or spotted a foul, you know, whatever the case is, and they announce it, that's it. They, without coming back on the fucking mic, pick the flag up, told the fucking players, yeah, it's fourth down. And that was it. It was like, what the fuck? Not only that, Dez Bryant was on the field with his fucking helmet off, which if a guy comes off the sideline onto the field, that's an automatic penalty. If a guy's on the field and takes his fucking helmet off, that's an automatic penalty. None of this shit warranted a penalty at all. And fucking Dallas just skated on that shit. So this shit is crazy as fuck. I don't know. Like I said, though, if Detroit played a more aggressive game and were able to put up points in the second half like they were the first, the penalty wouldn't have mattered one bit. So, like I said, I'm never one of those people that's just going to blame a penalty for the end of the game because, I mean, shit, Detroit scored all their points in the first half. You know? So, what can you do? So, but I think Dallas' days are numbered. I really do. Going to Green Bay, it's going to be some shit there. Baltimore, New England is the Saturday early game, 4:35. New England, man, they're really, really tough to beat in the playoffs. They really are. You know, Belichick's fucking genius. And Tom Brady's Tom Brady, man. I think he's going to keep making plays and doing what he does. At home, New England. Yeah. I got to go with New England on this one. Carolina at Seattle. Man, I'd love to go with Carolina on this one. I really would. I don't think Seattle is unstoppable this year. I do not think they take the Super Bowl home. I'm hoping they get stopped before the Super Bowl, but there's kind of a slim chance that that's going to happen. I think I'm looking for an AFC champ this year. I'm definitely looking for someone from the AFC to dethrone the NFC team. That's what I'm hoping for, but I'm kind of thinking that that's going to be the outcome this year. And I got to go with Seattle. I don't think Carolina with 7 fucking wins belong to the playoffs, let alone beating the leader of another division with a respectable record. And, you know, the defense that Seattle has, Russell Wilson just plays way too smart back there. Marshawn Lynch is a beast, even though he's an asshole. You know, just another one of these Seattle guys. He had his appeal denied for the $100,000 that he was fined for not talking to the media. And then he spent the rest of the year, you know, the media would ask him a question. He would just answer yes, 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 no. The one game, he would answer every question with thank you for asking that. Yeah, I mean, like, he was just doing dickhead shit with the media because he didn't want to talk to them and then was getting fined for not talking to them. Now, in a certain aspect, I do get it because you shouldn't have to talk to the media because, you know, the majority of these fucking interviews are bullshit anyway. Because what are they going to say? You ask a guy after the game, what do you think of your performance? Well, I mean, here's your two options. Either it was a good performance or it was a bad performance. If it was a good performance, they're probably going to go, I'm really happy with the way we played out there, da 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 da. It's bad, you know, really looking to get back on track next game. You know, some mistakes made out there. I take responsibility for blah, 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 blah. I mean, what groundbreaking shit really comes out of these post-game interviews? I mean, what are you looking for? I mean, unless someone snaps off and starts, you know, running their mouth about shit, I mean, what are you really looking for? So I think a lot of it's bullshit anyway. You know, he just looks like a dickhead doing, you know, the other side of things where he just says, you know, one word answers, and I guess that's his way of fighting back. But, you know, it is what it is. So the NFL is kind of crazy, you know, with its different policies on things. And those fucking commercials with the people keeping silent and acting all broken up and telling you to stop beating your girlfriend. It's like, dude, your wife or your kids. Or it's like, dude, do you really think anybody was right on the edge? Like they were just about to, hey, shit, commercial time. I'm going to go beat the shit out of my wife. Oh, fuck, this commercial's really touching me, I guess. You know what? Let me put that on the shelf. Maybe next week. I'll let her skate today. I was going to, you know, when this commercial break came up, I said, you know, well, shit, my team just scored a touchdown. I think they're going to take a commercial break. I'll go beat the wife and kid, pull some shit off the tree and whip my kid senseless with it. Or, oh, fuck, wait, no, this commercial, oh, they're telling me to stop. Yep. Yep. The commercial just told me to stop. Don't do that shit anymore. Okay. You know, you guys are right. All right. You know, never mind. I'll be a completely model husband and father now. I was going to be a piece of shit and, you know, really risk, you know, crushing an orbital socket today with the blunt force I was going to, you know, put out on people. But instead, now that this commercial came up and these people look broken up, these millionaires look broken up about the situation, I'm going to go, you know what? I didn't even think about it like that. Second thought, I'm not going to beat anybody. I don't understand what the, it's like they got to do their part and kiss ass and be like, you know, hey, stop beating that weight. But that's what you guys were doing. That's, I mean, you had the motherfuckers knocking bitches out in the fucking elevator. You had dudes running out in the yard, pulling branches off and beating their fucking 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds with it. That's what you guys were doing. That wasn't me. You're telling me to stop, but you motherfuckers were the ones doing that shit. That shit don't make any sense. I don't know who you're trying to get through to. You should put that shit on like a closed feed directly into the locker rooms instead of the fans. Jesus. So anyway, I just can't imagine that Carolina's going to beat Seattle in the playoffs. That shit, I just can't imagine that's going to happen. So, of course, I could hope, but nope. Dallas at Green Bay. They're saying, talking about it like it's crazy shit that we didn't know about. They're saying Aaron Rodgers has a slight tear in his calf. They were saying that shit during the last game, though. When he was playing the end of the season game. I forget who they played the last week. But they showed him running and shit, and they said that he had a slight tear in his fucking calf. I could swear they said that shit, and now they're acting like it's breaking news. Like, there's a slight tear, and everyone's like, oh, well, now they're fucked. Like, no, I could swear that that's what they were saying before. And he was still running on it, and shit, he collapsed the one time. I mean, it's big trouble. I think it's going to definitely spell big trouble for them. I honestly think they're going to get past Dallas, though. So I guess we'll have to see. But I don't think Dallas is that strong of a fucking team. I just don't. Stronger, you know, in comparison to a team that's going to only put up 3 points in the second half, sure. But if another team's going to come out with some kind of firepower, I don't think Dallas is going to come out on top of that game or any other game. Just God forbid Dallas gets to the Super Bowl and they play Denver. You really think they're going to keep up with Peyton Manning on the other side of the ball? Just no fucking way. No way. Indianapolis at Denver. This should be a tough one. You know, Peyton Manning's tough, and, you know, when he comes out there and starts fucking lighting the scoreboard up, it's really hard to keep up with. But Indianapolis is a scrappy team, and Andrew Luck's a scrappy fucking badass quarterback. And this one could go either way. It really could. I think the winner of this game goes to the Super Bowl, personally. I think if Indy comes out of this over Denver, in Denver, I think they then go into New England and beat New England. And same thing, Denver beats Indianapolis. get another Peyton Manning Tom Brady showdown, and I think Peyton Manning comes out on top. So there's that. So I guess we'll have to see what happens there. What else? I think that's about it. Go into the CZW stuff. All right. It's To Live Is To Die is the name of the show in January on Saturday. I will be attending. I thought about, like, do I want to take pictures? Do I not want to take pictures? I'm not going to be, like, sitting up front or anything. And I think what I'm going to do, I think I'm going to take pictures, but take pictures all in black and white and see what happens. Because I've never done that. And just for, like, a change. Because I was thinking, like, maybe I should just leave the camera home. Fuck it. And then I'm like, you know what? Let me just do that for, like, a different look on shit. See what happens. So, couldn't hurt. I'm going to try that out. Should be fun. This has the potential to be a really good January show, which is not like a consistent thing, really good January shows. Most of the time, they follow up Cage of Death with a horrible show. Last year was actually a good show. And then, you know, before that, I think you got to go back a couple years, and that last arena show was probably the last good January show prior to last year. But you got Nation of Intoxication of Lucky 13 and Devin Moore versus Matt Tremont and Stockade. I've never seen Stockade. I heard Tremont and Stockade have had some matches in I want to say Beyond. I could be wrong about that. But I've heard they've had some pretty, pretty big feud going in one of these companies. So I'd imagine that's where Stockade got his booking from. And, you know, I guess he's impressed outside of the company working for some of the same guys. And, looking forward to seeing how this shapes out. You know, I'm always down to see new talent within CZW, especially if they're doing well elsewhere. So that's that. You got Speedball Mike Bailey versus Alex Colon. This should be good. Should be very good. Chris Dickinson versus Bucks Belmar should be another good match. I think this will highlight a lot more of what Bucks Belmar is capable of, wrestling-wise. I think the dude's a very good wrestler. I understand the gimmick, and I'm fine with that. I think when they rely too heavily on the gimmick and the whole match is about, like, let's go, how disgusting could he be? How gross could he be? I mean, it gets old. I mean, if you could work a good balance of the gimmick and the actual wrestling ability, I tend to like that type of match a little bit more. So I think this is definitely going to highlight that because Dickinson's going to go at him. So this should be very good. Team Tremendous versus the Beaver Boys in a rematch from Cage of Death. I think this is going to be great. I think they match up really well. Team Tremendous is really, really fucking entertaining, and the Beaver Boys are a great tag team, so this should be good. Joe Gacy defending his Wired Championship for the first time. I think it's for the first time, maybe not. Maybe the Dojo Wars show that they did. I believe he had an hour Ironman match against Joey Janela, which I haven't seen. I don't know if they put it online or anything yet. That's pretty interesting. But I definitely expect Janela to show up in CZW very, very soon. I think they'd be smart to put him on the main roster as soon as possible, because the dude's a hard worker. He's got a lot of charisma, and I think he could do well for CZW. But Joe Gacy versus Jonathan Gresham. I mean, what can you say? Jonathan Gresham is just a phenomenal wrestler. I mean, he's one of the best things that, the indies has seen in a long time. I mean, you can match that guy up with anybody, and his fucking wrestling ability is just top-notch. And Gacy has done tremendous things to really bring himself up. I mean, he's gotten himself in a lot better shape. He's been an athletic guy who could do a lot of things you don't expect a guy his size to do. For a long time, he's been doing that stuff. He matches up really good with smaller guys, too. And I think this match is going to be good. This could very well even be match of the night. You got tag team title defense of Ohio Thrill Killers versus the Body, the Bomb, and the God, which is Papa Don, Pepper Parks with Cherry Bomb. I really don't give a shit about this because I don't like Papa Don or Pepper Parks at all. So hope Ohio for Killers makes this as entertaining as it could be and, you know, short for all I give a fuck. Tim Donce will also be in attendance and, you know, hopefully he'll be debuting as far as I don't know if he's going to wrestle or what, but not. And then you got Black Cheese defending his World Heavyweight Championship in an ultra-violent street fight against Sozio. So that could be very good. And looking forward to seeing the dude, defend his title. And, like I said, I'm looking forward to the show. Don't get out that often anymore, for Christ's sakes. And, going to be a lot of fun. Going to head out there and have a good time. Let me see. What do I got? Plugs. Let me... Wrestling Soup, I believe, is on tonight. They do Thursdays, so they should actually be on right now. I think they come on at like 9:30 or something. 9:15. I don't fucking know. Go check out WrestlingSoup.com. Sports Den, they've been kind of off, I think. Maybe they're back. Check out their Facebook. And Stern Nation, usually they do their shows over the weekend. Again, check out the Facebooks. I also want to give a shout-out to another podcast I had listened to. It's the We Want Blood podcast. I think these guys are good. Trying to broaden my horizon, listen to a couple different guys out there. And these two... They put on a good show. They cover a lot of different companies and, thorough in what they're doing. They're doing, like, a year-end awards thing right now. I don't know when they do their shows as far as, like, a weekly thing. I know they have their nominations up there, and, you can go vote for your favorites of the year. You know, some pretty good organized shit there. And, so check them out. Again, check the Facebook pages. Web addresses or any of that. I think that's pretty much it. I'll be back next week with a full review of CZW's To Live or Die or what have you. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I think I pretty much hit whatever I was going to hit. Stay motherfucking warm out there. It's fucking cold as shit. And, check out this outro. I think it's pretty funny.
I don't fuck with you, yeah.
Woo! From this cold cuss today.
I don't fuck with you, yeah.
Woo! From this cold.